Welcome to the Hospitality Forward podcast with listeners in more than 160 countries worldwide.
My name is Hannah Lee. I am president and founder of Hannah Lee Communications, an award-winning global PR agency specialized in hospitality and travel.
And I'm Michael Ann Stendig, editor-in-chief of Hannah Lee Communications, as well as the award-winning co-author of The Japanese Art of the Cocktail and a food and beverage writer. Helping the community has always been part of our agency's mission. We understand that a lot of business owners, bartenders, chefs, sommeliers, and others might not have the resources to hire a PR agency. We believe everyone has a story to share, so we created our podcast where our listeners can get to know leading reporters and writers and start building relationships.
Each week, these top journalists from around the globe share their practical advice on how hospitality and travel industry professionals can be featured in their stories.
In fact, one of our loyal listeners got featured in the New York Times after listening to our podcast and following our media guest tips. So, you could be next. In addition, we give away a copy of our agency's book, The Japanese Art of the Cocktail, to a listener who shares how our podcast helped them tell their story to the media. Simply email us at hello@hannahleecommunications.com, have Hospitality Forward in the subject line, and share the tip that you learned. And now, on with the show. In this episode, we're delighted to chat with Claire Stern. Claire is the digital director of Elle.com. Claire previously worked in the editorial departments of InStyle, J.Crew, Bergdorf Goodman, and Pop Sugar. She earned her master's degree from the Columbia Journalism School. Claire's penchant for interviewing started with the Harriet the Spy notebook she had as a kid.
Hi, Claire. Welcome to the show.
So nice to see you.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I am personally so excited to have you on our show for so many reasons, because I love fashion, I love travel, and Elle has been one of my favorite fashion magazines for such a long time.
Thank you. And that's so nice to hear. We definitely have that in common, as I was definitely an Elle reader far before I started working there.
Well, let's look into your career journey a little bit. Did you always want to be a writer? And was Elle, you know, one of your dream of dream jobs that you always wanted to have?
At the risk of sounding corny, I'd have to say yes. I was one of those rare, precocious little girls who was editor of her middle school paper, her high school paper. So I definitely always wanted to study journalism. I was following in my mother's footsteps a bit, as she was a freelance journalist in her sort of second act career move. So maybe it was a little subconscious, but I definitely wanted to work in journalism. And I've always loved fashion. What's not to love? We all get dressed every day.
Might as well do it well.
Exactly.
So Elle has been around since 1945, and then it has been influencing the world of fashion ever since. So tell us about Elle and its history, audience, and reach.
Our reach is pretty extensive. Elle has the most international editions of any other fashion book, so it's definitely a global worldwide publication. I think above all, Elle is personal style. It is both inspirational and aspirational. In addition to all of the beautiful fashion, all the amazing accessories, Elle is really known for its cutting edge features and editorials, and we don't stray from political issues. It covers a lot of issues and other categories that women and men are interested in besides fashion.
Let's look at what you do personally at the magazine. You're a digital director. What does that role exactly entail?
Every day is different, but essentially I manage and run the website, the digital extension of the print product. So that encompasses everything from top editing, you know, the words you see online, to managing our newsletter, to the social media, and also making the print product live online in addition to all of our web-only features. We publish a lot of pieces.
What actual topics do you cover?
Personally.
Yeah.
I definitely closely oversee our fashion verticals, but I also manage our travel coverage. So when I started at Elle a couple years ago, it was a crazy time post-pandemic. People were just coming out of their quarantine and starting to get the itch to travel and do things again. So I had launched Elle Escapes, which is our travel franchise where we basically curate what to do and what to see, where to eat, and where to drink in a range of must-see destinations across the world, from, you know, St. Lucia to Berlin to Porto in Portugal. We were trying to figure out, how do we do this? It's different from what's out there. So it's very visual. It's looks very magazine-y in its layout. And it's also accompanied by fashion product and beauty market. So you can shop as you're planning your trip, which who doesn't do that? And yeah, just really a bit of a short list, because I found when I'm researching, I love to travel personally and I'm making my own little to-do lists. I found that a lot of these other web pages and portals were just very difficult to sift through. And all I really wanted was the handful of things to do while I'm there in the name of efficiency. So that's what we try to do, but also have it look very pretty.
Yeah, we really liked the New York City piece and thought it was really spot on with all of our favorite spots. So
that's
kudos.
Good. Yeah, I'm a native as well. So there was a lot riding on that one. But yeah, and we try to keep them updated to that point. We try to freshen them up so they're as current as possible. And as we know, in New York City, there's a new opening almost every week, every day. So we'll try to update them when relevant, usually around the fashion weeks and other tentpole moments.
So how do you pick the locations?
So when we started Elle Escapes, we focused on the Fashion Week cities, New York, London, Milan, and Paris, because we had launched around that time in September. And obviously, that's where the fashion community was going. And we look at the calendar. We consider the optimal times of year to be traveling. We look at certain cultural happenings. We did a Palm Springs guide for Coachella, for example, ski resorts and destinations in the winter, Northern Lights, Iceland in the summer. And I will say the unique thing is, which I'm really proud of and love about Elle Escapes, is our editors are physically going there and doing the research. So they build their own list, but it's really based on firsthand travel experience. They're not just consulting other lists and regurgitating those. They're actually on the ground exploring the cities and sharing their expertise from there.
So all the folks who write these pieces, they're all on staff at Elle?
Yeah. They're all on staff because it's really meant to be an Elle editor's guide to that particular place. So we've had a couple friends of the brand and contributors write one-off columns. But yeah, for the most part, it's Elle editor driven.
Do you typically assign them or do writers pitch you?
It's a combination. Sometimes opportunity will come our way. Sometimes a staffer's says something like, I really want to go to Dubrovnik, and or I'm heading there personally and I'd love to write a guide while I'm there.
So what is the timeline from choosing the location to having the story published?
Again, it's a lot of planning, a bit of putting the puzzle pieces together. So sometimes we can turn around the columns pretty quickly, even in a couple weeks, but we usually try to put them up at the perfect moment. I think, and it's nice when timing works out. One of our editors went to Sicily and she had a Sicily guide sort of ready to go, but we waited to publish it until The White Lotus came out. So that was really great timing for season two of that show. And that particular column did pretty well. So sometimes we'll wait to publish them. Sometimes we'll publish them right away. But we always try to be cognizant of the time of year. So not sending someone somewhere where the weather and it doesn't really make sense.
And we always find it fun to read your annual 30 Places to Instagram roundup.
Yeah, that is a really fun one too. That predated me joining Elle, but it's something we definitely try to upkeep, and it's a really fun list to curate. It's something we work on all year, and it's everyone on staff contributes. And yeah, the genesis of that list is now that Instagram's really changed so much. I feel definitely restaurants, definitely travel. I think there was a certain time last summer where everyone and their mother seemed to be in Sardinia, and you're just kind of wondering, these things tend to snowball. So, and I know firsthand, just speaking to some friends in hospitality, how much that one platform can influence the making of their restaurants, the menu for sure, even the lighting above the place settings, and how important it is. So it can be very challenging to consolidate it to 30 places. When you're thinking globally.
No question about it. And we were quite pleasantly surprised to see the Incheon Bridge.
My hometown, my home country.
In Korea. You know, we always go over that bridge when we come in from the airport. And it is truly spectacular.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It is stunning. And yeah, I'm half Korean as well. And I'm happy to see this, how you wave and everyone really excited about Seoul, I think, particularly in fashion as well. There were some notable shows over there, but Seoul seems to be having a moment.
It's literally it city.
Yeah.
And everybody should travel to Korea because it's fascinating, it's dynamic, it's so beautiful.
I totally agree. And the beauty products, I mean, my goodness.
That we could do a whole episode on Korean beauty products.
Yes, we could, for
please.
Sure.
You know, there are so many beautiful bars, restaurants, and hotels around the world. What kind of information should our listeners, for example, bar and restaurant owners, hoteliers, have ready to go when they reach out to you?
I think it's always helpful to have just a little background of the space. Sometimes it's history. I think a new restaurant that a friend of mine opened up on Lafayette is called Jeans. And I think when he had sent over some information about the space, it clarified who the chef was, what the space used to have in it. It was formerly occupied by Asia de Cuba and Butter. And then just what the menu is, a bit of farm to table, and then some imagery.
When it comes to visual assets, what kind of photos would you like to see when people are sending those information? And also, does video work for you?
Video can be tricky. I mean, we have our own in-house video team. But personally, yeah, I think I like to see videos just for background. I think the more photos, the better, for sure, when you're trying to visualize a place without having seen it. So I like to see everything from the exterior to the interior, if there's any outdoor space, close-up food images, for sure, close-up cocktail images, if they have a good cocktail or mixology program. So the more images, the merrier, for sure.
That's excellent advice that our listeners will definitely be writing down as they listen. But let's elaborate on that. Could you share your top three tips for how hospitality and travel professionals can get on your radar and potentially be featured in your stories?
Ooh, that's interesting. I feel like with any pitch, so much hinges on the subject line, honestly, because some editors can get hundreds of emails a day and they're mostly just glazing over the subject line. So if I were opening a restaurant and trying to get in touch with an editor, I would put opening in all caps with a colon and then probably the name of the restaurant, something short, and then a one or two word descriptor, maybe opening, Claire's, you know, farm to table Korean or something, for example. Keep it short, but something you want to click to open. So that's something we think of with Elle's own newsletter. How do we craft a subject line where people will actually open it and check out all the work we did? So I think the same goes for something like this. I would keep the email short as well, because again, so many emails a day, people are busy. I would introduce myself, say a few words about me, especially if I don't know this person and it's a cold email. And here is what's going on. And then I'd share, I think, the little highlight reel of what you have to share with this person. And then say, I hope to hear from you soon. I think also if it's being pitched for a specific section or to a specific editor, say, hey, you know, I have this opening that I think would be a great fit for your next update to Elle Escapes New York City. So making their job as easy as possible and not making them the editor dig for information, I think is really crucial. So giving all the information and all the high-res imagery up front so they don't have to ask is great. And I think follow-ups are totally fine.
How important is it for a pitch to have news hook?
I think it's really important. I think the why when you're pitching is probably the most important. I think a pitch can be amazing, but if it doesn't have a nice hook, why now? What's the relevancy, especially with the internet? It might not make the most sense.
Yeah. But then what do you suggest for those who don't have anything new to share with you, but it's been around for a while, but then they've been doing great and thriving? So what should they do to get your attention?
That's a good question. I mean, I think tapping into the culture might be a nice option. I think if there's a, I don't know, maybe it's a new menu, or maybe it's, you know, we all know White Lotus season 3 is filming in Thailand, and maybe that's the hook. Maybe it's a certain type of cuisine that's really popular right now. We were mentioning Seoul in Korea before. Maybe there's something to mention there. Maybe there's a certain film that has spotlighted that type of cuisine. But I think it's important to keep things new and fresh, whether it's like an addition to the menu or a new service being featured. I went to a hotel restaurant recently in the West Village that started an astrology series at the Walker Hotel. So every month they tailor the meal to a specific zodiac sign and the menus themed to that. And they also had tarot readers circulating the venue and stopping by your table. So while it wasn't necessarily a new place, it was a new thing they were doing to stay current and stay interesting.
So Claire, for social media, what's your favorite platform for work?
I'd have to say Instagram. I think I'm a little older, too old of a demographic for TikTok, although it is tempting. But I think Instagram's such a great connector for so many things. I think specifically for journalists, whether you're trying to get in touch with a source or find more information, I think when I'm traveling to a different city for work and I'll post a story and find out somebody's in the area or somebody has a good recommendation of a bar to try or a restaurant to try, I find it to be incredibly useful. And also, of course, to share the amazing work we're doing on Elle. Our Instagram following is north of 7 million, which is great. And we have a pretty wide reach. And it's just another platform to tell our stories at scale and in new and interesting ways that we might not have the ability or capability to do on the website. And it can be for a different audience sometimes.
Any tips for our listeners, like hospitality and travel industry folks, to do better on social media to get your attention?
Photos. Yeah, I think photos are paramount. Photos are so important. So if you have a really good restaurant and you don't have really tantalizing food photos, that's really tricky. How is anyone going to want to go? Because Instagram's really the visual magazine of your life or your place of work. And food photography is really tricky. It's not easy to do. But I would say investing in a good photographer to document your menu would be very, very important. And then just making sure, I think there's more strategy that goes in there after that with putting all the right tags and putting the content out there. But I think it definitely starts with the imagery.
Mm-hmm. Agree. And we always tell our clients and our industry people, like, invest in photography. You can make a beautiful food, but if nobody knows how it looks like it, you have to invest.
And as a writer myself, it's very humbling, but photography is indispensable in storytelling, you know, especially how people are consuming, you know, news and information these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's easier these days with the amazing, I just got the new iPhone 15. I mean, the camera is very good. And I think it's a bit easier now than it was in the past.
You know, our hospitality and travel industry is filled with passionate and dedicated people. So in your opinion, Claire, are there any particular people you think, or even organizations that are having the greatest impact on the industry and really moving it forward?
I'm a big fan of the guys at Authentic Hospitality in the city. So they have a few establishments, Ray's Bar on the Lower East Side, Pebble Bar in Midtown, and Jack's on Bond on Bond Street. And they also operate the Smile within the Freehand Hotel. I find, in addition to just being really hospitable people and sweet, cool guys, I think all their spaces are very unique and really well thought out and designed and executed. And I think the people that they bring together for their events are just great. So on top of just the product and the space being interesting and fun, their events and their gatherings always tend to be a really good time because they curate a good group of people.
Yeah, we are a huge fan of the group as well. And we enjoyed reading the Jack's on Bond in your L Escapes in New York City.
It's a great spot. I'm a fan. You can find me there.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you there for, I think they have...
The Caprese Martini.
Martini.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. Oh, so I think so they found a really... you know, interesting conceit for a cocktail. And now they'll get people, I'm sure, running there and asking for it. So that was very smart marketing, but also just, yeah, an interesting type of salad and a martini, if that's your thing.
It almost tastes healthy.
It does, right? Worth trying for sure.
Speaking of drinks, so what is your favorite cocktail? And if you could choose one person, who would you share it with? And why?
At the risk of sounding super basic, I do like a good cosmopolitan, an ice cold one. And I feel like there's just only one woman in New York City to share it with. And that would be Sarah Jessica Parker. So that would be my answer. In the West Village at an amazing spot where we both live. That would be an ideal evening.
When you have a date night, let us know, give a holler. I will join you. I will just crash the party.
I will, for sure. And she, you know, she loves going out to eat and loves restaurants as well. I think on her Instagram, she's always spotlighting different spots around her neighborhood that are either have been there forever and is a bit of a West Village historian in that way. So worth following if you haven't checked it out.
All right. So looking a bit beyond the confines of our wonderful city, what country is on your bucket list to visit and why?
Oh, my gosh. Where don't I want to go? I definitely would like to go back to Seoul. I've been before, but I haven't been since before the pandemic. So it's hard to get an Asia trip in sometimes when there's so much going on. I'd love to go to Korea for sure. I think Fiji is on my bucket list. There's a island there called Turtle Island that looks really great. I'd like to go to Greece. I'd like to go to India. My mother grew up all over the world and her father was a diplomat. I think India is the one place I have yet to go that I haven't been to where she's lived, and Egypt. So that was a lot. But
that's a lot. But you know, it just sounds like Claire.
Yeah.
Claire Stern, the Globetrotter.
Hopefully. There's too many good places to go.
Yeah. But if you go to Korea, you must visit one bar called Zest, Z-E-S-T. And this new bar just made it to the World 50 Best Bar list. And it's a team of really great people. And so definitely, you know, give it a visit.
Well, we'll hook you up.
Yeah. What do I order there besides a cosmopolitan?
I think you're just going to have to order everything. Just sip everything.
It's going to be a long night.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be a long night.
And after the best.
And yeah. After that, you have to visit my family restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant in Gangnam. So when you're ready, I will give you some information.
Oh, I can't wait. I thought you were going to say after that, I'd have to go to a karaoke bar because
well, that's,
I'd be
that's
so...
given. That's given. In between cocktail bar and Italian restaurant, you go to karaoke and do one or two songs and then go to dinner.
That sounds like an ideal evening.
All right. So before we wrap up, what is the best way for our listeners to contact you?
I think via Instagram. My handle's at Claire C. Stern. So you can find me there.
So you don't mind getting DMs from everyone?
I think if I haven't met you, it's probably a good platform for that because I'm probably not about to hand out my email. So it's a nice place to start. I think, again, Instagram's a great connector. So happy to connect always.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Claire, for today. And we had a blast. And I'm looking forward to connecting in person and share a Cosmo or two.
I can't wait. Thank you both so much for having me.
What a fun globetrotting chat with Claire. Now that you know what Claire is looking for, please feel free to reach out to her and introduce yourself. And don't forget to mention that you heard her on our Hospitality Forward podcast. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with your friends and colleagues. And be sure to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your favorite shows. Also, for all media guests to date, you could find their information and episodes on our agency's website, www.hanaleecommunications.com.
Stay tuned for our next episode. Until then, join us as we move hospitality forward together.